You're listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. Let's go get him, Ken. Okay, hand me my contract. Hand me my constitution.
All right, you kids get to bed. I get the story.
Okay, that's enough for that. We're going to stop that right there before this turns into something other than a podcast. Hey, what's going on, podcast audience? This is that guy, Kenny Hodge. And today I want to talk to you real quick. I always say, right? Today I want to talk to you about COVID-19 and Article 8 in our contract. Yes, I'm basically talking to Columbus, Ohio, the branch in which I work. But as I say on every show, if it's happening in one plant, it's happening in most plants. Stand by. Let's talk about some things. Starting off with that COVID and the variant, it is taking people out of work. People are missing. If you look around, you're talking to a buddy tomorrow, that buddy has got COVID. And let me say off the bat that the post office has seemed to given up. They just gave up on any contact tracing. If you have had COVID, you know no one called you and went through the questions of who you were in contact with. Not only did they not call you, they didn't call anybody that you know. And in Columbus, we have a nurse, a full-time nurse, but that's not being taken care of. It again appears that post office is more concerned with everything, and your well-being seems to rank pretty low. And the reason I say that is, you know, since there is no actual COVID leave anymore, we've gone through Family First, we've gone through EFAIL, and right now there's nothing out there, with the exception, there's nothing out there that's going to pay you for contracting COVID if you are a federal or a postal employee, minus your own leave, or the Department of Labor has set it up that you can file a CA-1 and they're going to compensate you for that time out of work. Now, notice I said the Department of Labor, not the United States Postal Service. United States Postal Service position is there is no leave for you, and if you don't have leave, they'll gladly give you leave without pay. Again, every opportunity the post office gets to show people how they really care about them, they seize the moment. Hey, I hope you don't mind. I'm in a real good mood. I'm going to put a little music to the background, and we're still going to talk about COVID and Article 8. Hey, let's do a little something like this. The COVID variant is taking people out of work, as I just stated to you. And you have to be mindful that your contract is still a living document. You as postal employees, you got to understand your contract is in effect. And because of the current situation we're in with the COVID and excess of people out of work, there's provisions that are put in place that do not make it necessary for you to violate your contract. Does that make sense? In other words, because there are an excessive number of people out of work, that does not give the Postal Service the right to violate your contract, to not respect your bid. And I know on the surface, you may look at it and say, well, there's no one here. Well, and I get that there's no one there or not as many people there, but that don't change your contract. And as employees, you got to take time to read your contract so you understand this. Now, management could care less, but to the employee, understanding and get in small bits, the national agreement, the contract that was agreed upon by your National Postal Managers Union and the United States Postal Service, you got to understand that, and you have to respect that more than what I see us doing right now. Because if you think about it, and I'm going to give you a quick example of what I mean, we don't have to violate our contract because the folks at the national level, have already put in provisions on what should happen or what could happen. Example, okay, you're short personnel excessively. I understand it's not one of the two designated periods, but now the post office negotiates with the union and allows them to go over their cap of mail handlers. You understand what I'm saying? So again, you don't have to try to do the work of eight people. There's provisions in place that allow the post office to hire additional. Now, part of the provision, and our national had the foresight to state this, part of the provision is because you're short personnel, United States Postal Service, the union is going to allow you to go over the cap, but you cannot damage my career mail handlers on the overtime desire list. Now, in Columbus, Ohio, there's a major, major stumbling block. It's called management. You know, the fact that the federal government says we have no way to compensate our employees should they contract COVID, but we're going to make a way, and we're going to do it through the Department of Labor via a CA-1. Now, the reason I say there's a major stumbling block in Columbus, you got management in that building, not all management, but most management in there, who don't understand the OWCP forms. They don't understand, or they're being instructed, yes, they're being instructed to harm you. They're being instructed, and this is how they're going to harm you when I say harm you. They're not putting in continuation of pay for employees once the CA-1 has been submitted. They refuse to understand that they have no way of stopping continuation of pay. This is why it's called continuation of pay. They can controvert. They can do whatever it is they want to do to try to stop that CA-1. But 3 days after it's filed, continuation of pay is automatic. And I have to take this moment and tell you, it's automatic that you get paid, but I want you to know that if for whatever reason your claim is not accepted, and I know you hear this from me a lot, I have to tell you, they're going to want all their money back. But if you're doing a CA-1 for COVID and you have a positive COVID test, that makes it hard not to accept that CA-1 for an on-the-job injury for COVID-related issues. The Department of Labor set it up that way. I don't know any other way to say that. But in Columbus, they want to fight that tooth and nail. They don't want to instruct supervisors to put continuation of paying for employees who have submitted the CA-1. Now, here's the good thing. That was submitted through the website. So there's a penalty for delaying claims, et cetera, that the post office will answer directly to the Department of Labor, not your union, to the Department of Labor. So you got to be a little more tenacious once you submit your claims to stay on top of your supervisor via phone call, via text, to ensure they put you in as COP or OWCP regular and not leave without pay. Now, staying inside the building, I work Columbus, Ohio. I'm going to switch from COVID-related issues, which have a direct effect on less people at work, to overtime. Now, I had a conversation at work today with a mail handler, or it was a few mail handlers, and we were discussing overtime. Now, let me tell you something. The National has provided that the post office would be allowed to go over the cap, but not to the detriment of the overtime desire list. Inside your National agreement, there are two ways in which overtime will be administered, distributed, however you want to call it, in a plant. It's going to be by tour or it's going to be by section. There are two ways. In Columbus, Ohio, the choice has been made that our overtime will be by section. So just for the sake of argument, anything that relates to overtime by tour is not a part of our conversation right now. In Columbus, Ohio, we have agreed that our overtime is by section. So that means, and listen very carefully, all your overtime should be in your section. Not most, not some, all your overtime should be in your section. Now, what happens, and why I'm going to expound on that a little bit, is because in Columbus, Ohio, I don't know where a lot of these thoughts come from that I hear permeating on the floor. There are some that think that when you come in for overtime, if there's no work in your section, they can send you somewhere else. No, they can't. Again, respect your contract. Your contract says overtime is by section. Now, let me tell you why management wants to just move you instead of honor your contract, because it requires multiple moves. And let me explain to you what I'm talking about. If you are on the overtime desire list in the flat unit, you come in for work, all the stations are full, so there's no room for you, so to speak. So they say they don't need you now. No. What they are supposed to do is what management is supposed to do contractually. They are to move people out of that section to make room for you in that section. I don't care that it's troublesome for them to do. I'm talking contract. You have to know this because you have to insist that if you come in for your section, they do not have the rights to say, hey, they're full over there. Go work over here. No, that's not how it goes. If they're full over there, you move somebody to make room for that overtime person. Because remember, we negotiated. Overtime is by section. All your overtime should be in your section. Now, I know that might sound different or brand new to people, but that's how it is. You see, these are those nuances in your contract that once you begin to understand, I always tell you, you got a pretty good job. And while we're on funny things I heard at the office today, I don't know where people get the notion that when you're on overtime, you lose seniority. No, you never. I know they like to say you lose seniority as a way of explaining that you're not a senior person, but yes, you are. You never lose seniority. I don't care when you come to work, you are always that mail handler with the exact amount of seniority you had yesterday, but except one more day. Now, the only difference now happens is we pick jobs at the beginning of our tour. So if five people are coming in on overtime, that senior person on overtime, if there's five jobs to be given out, get to pick the job they want to do. You don't just assign that person, and I know that's what you're used to, but that is just wrong. And I'm not trying to sugarcoat that. When you come in on overtime, you always have your seniority. Now, you're coming in at the end of a tour, but again, if five people are coming in on overtime in a section, then the senior person of those five on overtime pick the job they're going to do. That's contract. I know none of you probably look at it like that, but that's the way it is. And when you start coming in for overtime and you start exercising that right, you're going to make those managers manage. When you come in for overtime and they want to send you out of your section and you explain to them that that's contract, and then maybe you go get a steward if it gets to that point, they have to understand you're not the person that leaves the unit. In fact, because our contract states overtime is by section, you are one of the last people to leave the unit. This is Ken Hodge, and this is the podcast. By all means necessary, try to keep yourself safe and understand that just because there are extenuating circumstances, that does not negate what was negotiated for you to enjoy a better quality of work life.